Next on BYUSN, it's a bowl night. BYU looks to get back in the win column against Texas Tech. We'll discuss why tonight's game is bigger than you might think. Plus, where do we want to see BYU's backcourt of Yegor Deming and Dallin Hall have the biggest influence on tonight's game?
Radio analyst Mark Durant previews the game against the Red Raiders. How did the Cougars slow down the top shooting team in the nation? And Top 5 Tuesday features the coldest takes about BYU football from 2024. I cannot wait for it.
Unfortunately, we're involved in that. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Hope you're enjoying this Tuesday, January 7th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who is now considering taking a head coaching job in the college football ranks based on his EA Sports acumen, Jerem Jordan.
I stink, dude. I lost the first half to my six-year-old the other day. Legitimately, I was playing hard. I was like, Tate, why are you beating me? Matt Brown, friend of the program, had the Freedom of Information Act to get the application of some people for the Kennesaw State football job. He said that several people claimed they were good at College Football 25, the video game. He said one guy said he even ranked in the top 60,000 in the world using a, in his words, tier three team in Kansas.
Okay.
We can't joke about Kansas around here. They've beaten BYU 2 years in a row. So that's funny. But, yeah, so I guess it gives hope to the people playing College Football 25. No one's hiring offensive coordinators that played video games, except the F1 movie about the kid that played the video game and then it became an F1 driver. So that actually happened.
There is that, and that's what they're all holding out hope for.
But we're talking about one guy. Where are the other examples? Where are they?
It's the same energy there, thinking if you're good at a video game, you'll be good as a real college football coach, as when you're practicing basketball in your driveway and you're like making a bunch of shots when you're a little kid,
you're like,
I bet some college coach is going to drive by and offer me a scholarship.
There have been funny Instagram videos about that, like what you wish to happen. Like if Mike Leach was 18 now, would he be playing the video game and using that as a reference to become a GA at BYU under Kalani Sitake, well, like you did under LaVell
Edwards? Even if you are really good at it, don't list it as one of your skills.
Situationally, I know what to do here. I use my timeouts. Sorry.
Well, it's time that we put aside the video games and discuss actual games, like rising and shouting and getting to what's trending.
There are nights where you're just off and the other team just dominates. You just move on to the next game. The good news, they're on to Texas Tech.
He'll drive it and dunk it!
With the alley-oop.
Huge challenge at home. Yes, an actual game tonight. Another basketball-filled night for BYU as the Cougars look to bounce back from the forgettable 31-point loss to then-14th-ranked Houston. The Cougars and Red are up to number 12. They dominated TCU last night. Houston is elite. We know this. Texas Tech fresh off dominating Utah and Salt Lake City now has to come to the Marriott Center. Well, they will face an actual formidable crowd and hostile environment.
Nice. Yes, you did there.
Yesterday,
Red Rocks weren't in the gym.
Yesterday, BYU head coach Kevin Young spoke about his team getting ready to get back on the court after, frankly, a humiliating loss.
Anytime you get your butt kicked as bad as we did in that game, I think everybody is just chomping at the bit to go right those wrongs. The best thing about that is the fact that we play tomorrow. There's really no other way to say it. So there's no good remedy to a butt kicking like that other than being able to go out and compete again. And I know every guy in our locker room, regardless of experience, is eager for that opportunity.
Turn the page and do so rather quickly.
I love that he acknowledged, we got our butts kicked. He acknowledged that. Yes, we're anxious to get to the next game, which you talked about yesterday. And you heard in that music video.
It's what he does. Yep. It's who he is.
If I'm Kevin Young, I go, oh, we don't have a back-to-back? That's what we did a million times in the NBA. We have a day of prep between, 2 days prep, in theory, with Sunday. Because he said, hey, player, we don't gather as a team, but us coaches, we're still looking to film. Let's not act like they're not. They can do whatever they want, right? But they're not gathering as a team on Sunday, per the policy. But, yeah, I'm excited for another opportunity and a big game, as you mentioned.
Quad one game against Texas Tech on your home floor. The Red Raiders up to number 21 in the latest net rankings.
Yep.
Whoa!
14 in KenPom. This is, like, Spence, if we said, hey, this is Baylor or Kansas or prior to this year, Arizona or Iowa State, you would be like, oh, huge game. I think because we see Texas Tech, we don't think this is one of the bigger games we'd be always playing at home. This is massive. Look at those numbers in net and KenPom. Like, this is an interesting game. BYU favored by 3, by the way. KenPom saying, hey, Texas Tech by 1. Mm. This is a massive game and an opportunity for BYU to get its first quad one win. They don't have one.
Yes. Coach Young said, eager for that opportunity. You said the magic word, opportunity. That's what it is tonight.
Yes.
Huge opportunity for BYU to get their best win of the season and do so on your home floor. We knew that BYU was going to play a bunch of quad one games, but we're kind of typically catered to think that you got to go on the road or to a neutral site to probably do that.
Or welcome one of those teams I mentioned.
Or the elite level, Texas Tech.
You got to be top 30 to host a home game and have it be quad one.
Texas Tech's not just in. They're 9 spots into the top 30.
Yeah.
If BYU wins this game, I believe Texas Tech will remain in quad one, and they might be there in the top 30 for the remainder of the season. We'll see.
They were beaten at home by UCF. UCF just got beaten by like a million by Kansas. So Texas Tech, it does concern me though, Spence, because this is, I think, the best shooting team in the country. They are the number one effective field goal percentage
yes,
shooting
they
team.
They are so incredible, like frustratingly efficient if you're playing against them.
They're what you and I are in pickup, just buckets. Number 10 in three-point percentage, number 14 in two-point percentage, number 17 in one-point percentage, otherwise known as free throw percentage. Number 10 in adjusted offensive efficiency. They make shots, dude.
They don't shoot a ton of free throws, but frankly, they don't need to shoot a ton of free throws.
No, and when they do, they make them. Elijah Hawkins, assist King, Chance McMillian, Kerwin Walter, Darian Williams, all shoot it really well. And then there's JT Toppin, who was at New Mexico last year with Rick Pitino's kid, Mountain West Conference Freshman of the Year. He's an 18 and 10 guy. He missed a month like Yegor Demon did. Came back against UCF. They did lose, but he had 26. Like, he is a problem down low. Different challenge than Houston, but BYU, I think, is going to be able to be in the flow of their offense a little bit better. It's just, can defensively BYU slow down a Texas Tech team that likes to get points from three, and BYU gives up a lot of points from three when you look at the stats so far this year. So I'm excited about it. I think it's massive, and I think Kevin Young acknowledges, hey, we got to slow down a high-powered Texas Tech offense.
You know, I was talking to the coaches, and I'm about to go tell the players, I mean, this would be the best offensive team we've played to date. You know, they got I think it's a mix of just really good talent, and then their coach does a really good job of keeping them organized offensively. They space the floor really well.
Listen, BYU has some payback here, Jeremy.
100%.
The veterans know it all too well. What Texas Tech did last year when BYU jumped out to a 17-point lead in Lubbock and then watched it dwindle away. Pop Isaacs is no longer playing for Texas Tech. He's at Creighton.
Yep.
But they know what it felt like to have that in their grasp on their own and lose it. And then you meet up in the Big 12 tournament and get absolutely run out of the gym. So BYU's got some payback on the mind, and you have that natural energy of the Marriott Center. If this game were being played in Lubbock, BYU would probably be an 8 or 9 point underdog, I think.
You think that much?
Home court advantage in the Big 12. I know home court in general in college basketball creates such a boost for the home team. I think it's the greatest advantage in any individual sport at the collegiate ranks, like men's basketball. In the college level, I feel like home court advantage is so, so massive.
I do agree, except for women's rifle, but I see your point. I see your point.
So, yes, I think BYU going on the road, they'd probably be an 8-point dog, you know, somewhere between 7 and 9. But at home, this is a game that BYU should be favored to win because the Marriott Center has that natural energy. BYU needs to, they need to create it with some good play early, set the tone, get the crowd involved. And how many times have you and I seen a team falter under the pressure once that Marriott Center gets rocking? Like, so many good teams, great teams. Houston last year was the one that impressed me the most because they were the one that sustained it. Like, even though BYU was hitting big shots and in it the whole game, but they're an elite level team. Texas Tech is not on Houston's level. If BYU can create that Marriott Center buzz, then I expect BYU to win this game, be 2-1 through 3, and all gravy, man.
Yes, they need to win. And if you don't, you have to win at TCU. Like, you got to kind of
– then it gets weird.
You can't be dipping below 500. You can't be 1-3 in league. We can't start asking questions that we haven't asked yet about this team and some of these players. But I feel like you that BYU will compete well and win tonight in a big game where BYU needs to show up coming off of a 31-point loss. This is a gut check kind of game. There will be a number of NBA scouts. I think it's 13 from 10 different teams tonight, if I heard last. BYU's got to play well tonight, which brings us to this. Yegor Demme and Dallin Hall both struggling a little bit lately. Head coach Kevin Young addressed their play and media availability yesterday.
I mean, I think they both need to play better, period. You know, and I've talked to them about that. They know that. They want to play better. I really want both of them to just go out and play. Don't think, play, and let their instincts rule the day, because they're both very, you know, good players in terms of their instincts and their kind of their feel for the game.
Okay, certainly they need to play better, as Kevin Young said. Where do you want to see them have the biggest influence on tonight's game?
Well, I think Coach is on to something there. Stop overthinking things. And stop trying to hit a home run on every offensive possession. I think that's where Yegor specifically gets into a little bit of trouble, is he's such a good passer, and he likes to throw sometimes a little bit of sauce into his how he's distributing the basketball. Just make the simple play. I think if Yegor makes simple plays and just goes, how many times have we heard it? Go back to the fundamentals. You make the simple basketball play, that will help him gain some confidence, and he'll have some opportunities. So
that reverse layup, by the way, was amazing against Houston that we just showed.
It was incredible. Unfortunately,
left to right over his shoulder.
One of the few things that went right for BYU against Houston. So just make simple plays. I have heard Kevin Young say that multiple times in BYU timeouts to his guards. Stop. You don't need to hit the home run every time. Just make the fundamental basketball play. Let the offense get into a groove and do your thing. They jumpstart it. Yegor and Dallin jumpstart that thing. So BYU, with ball security, it needs to start with them. Turnovers, I mean, how much of a deal was it against Houston? If BYU gives an efficient team like Texas Tech the ball away like they did against Houston, the Red Raiders aren't going to get after it like the Cougars and Red did. But if you just give them free possessions, that's where BYU enters in they get into a real danger zone, because how the efficiency that offense plays with. They make so many shots, so why give them extra opportunities?
I would hate a second chance, offensive rebound that goes for an open three when you get lost in the scramble trying to rebound. That kind of shot is bad. Offensively, they need to lead the way.
They got to get after it.
I said it yesterday. I need more points from these guys. Against ASU, 7 points, 10 assists combined. Houston, 10 points, 7 assists. Not good enough. Their average is 19 points, 10 assists combined. Need to see a 20 and 10 from these guys. And they lead the way. I don't think they've quite figured out how to play together and the rhythm of when you're inserting yourself versus me.
How many times have they actually been on the floor together?
Five.
Four, maybe five games?
I think it's five, maybe six games. It's going to take some time. And I asked Kevin Young about that in that press conference. He said, it's not so much about time. I need to help them out. He did say later regarding tempo, like, I'd like to play a little quicker and a little simpler in terms of they're kind of looking back at me a little too much of like, I'm calling too many plays for them, as opposed to run into this concept. So I wonder if BYU would do that today. Yegor's coming off an injury still. Dallin had an injury, has been playing for a minute. So hopefully these guys start to figure it out. And hopefully tonight's the night, because they certainly need it. And these aren't the only two that need to play better. Like, Cannon Catchings has got to shoot a higher number. Richie goes from 30 to 9. He's always going to give you that effort. But, you know, can he produce 13 to 15? Right now, Richie's BYU's leading scorer at 13.5. You have three dudes at 15-plus for Texas Tech. No dudes with 14 or more for BYU. Well, they have balance. I want to see a guy step up and be a 15-point scorer on this BYU team. BYU does have one of the best benches in the country in terms of minutes and production. But I'd love to see one of these two, like Yegor or Dallin, let's see more guys going off for 20, like an individual who catches fire. And maybe that's a guy like Trevin Nell. Yesterday, when asked about Trevin,
Kevin said
he needs to play more. He's shooting 46% from three, and he's top 20 in the country in offensive rating. Maybe a little more Trevin Nell helps you. But I think we're going to see a normalized BYU tonight. I think that was exceptional in a negative way at Houston. You're going to see the BYU we've seen more tonight.
Yes, the staff is figuring things out still as well.
Sure.
Maybe we see more Dawson Baker. That's another guy that Kevin Young has mentioned specifically. Probably needs to see more court time because his plus-minus is good and he seems to lift his team. The rhetoric of Dallin Hall being the most important player for BYU last year hasn't changed a ton. He's a critical component of this team. Yes, Yegor Demme comes in as...
I would argue it's Yegor now because of his usage. The ball's in his hand more.
But the two of them together zeroing combined? Back on your point, combined, yeah. That is the most important facet of this team. If they play well, watch out for BYU. If those two figure it out, then BYU has a chance to not just win 10 conference games, maybe they climb into 11 or 12. They are the key component. They're the engine that makes this thing go. Yeah. They're the thing that secures the ball. Like, you have to, it starts with your guards
and the pick
protecting
and roll
the ball, and, yeah. not turning it over. Because when that guard line turns the ball over a lot, then you get out and give an opponent a lot of fast break opportunities, those wide open three opportunities. Those live ball turnovers are brutal. And if the guards are giving it away, that's bad news for BYU.
They're not the only ones that need to play better, but certainly they have the most shine on them.
It starts yeah. with them. Yep. I'm not ready to say that the quarterback, but there is some component to that when you are the point guard and you are the primary ball handlers.
I'd say they are.
Okay.
I think it's a fair analogy.
All right. Our question of the day. After a 20-point win against Arizona State and a 31-point loss to Houston to open up Big 12 play, what in the world are your expectations for tonight's game against Texas Tech with this BYU men's hoops team? Seth LaPierce on Instagram answers, I expect a close win. With Yegor getting back some of his rhythm, BYU needs him.
I see a low 80s game, like high scoring, up and down. BYU wins like 82-81 kind of
thing. First to 80 wins?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
The other day it was first to 60, unfortunately.
All right. At Samar, is it Samar LaRopa underscore on X?
Who knows?
Let's just go with that. They say literally no clue. Still can't read the team.
We're 13 games in. We're still figuring out who this BYU team is due to some injuries, due to a non-conference schedule that wasn't the toughest, right? Now they're getting after it. So we're going to reveal more of that tonight. We'll see who
can BYU they is. Win the big home game. I know people say, well, they beat Arizona State.
This
is a different level. This is another level.
Yeah.
Can BYU win the big home game? If you get to 2-1 through three and your losses at Houston, whatever.
BYU can win it. It's will they do it? It's like
it's like the hymn.
Did you think to pray? It's like, well, certainly I did. Did you pray is what I think that hymn should be.
Let's see.
Did you pray? Did you win the game? Sunday marked the end of the NFL regular season. Six featuring BYU teams in the playoffs. You've got Andy Reid, Kingsley Suamattia, and the Chiefs are a one seed. Kyle Van Noy and the Ravens, three seed, hosting the Steelers. Puka Nacua and the Rams hosting the Vikings. Michael Davis and the Commanders playing the Bucks. Chris Brooks, Zane Anderson, the Packers playing the Eagles. Zach Wilson and the Broncos playing the Bills. So, are you taking Andy Reid, Kingsley Suamattia, and the Chiefs to win the Super Bowl or the field?
I feel like it comes down to really. I know we're saying Andy and Kingsley versus the field, but the best other opportunity in there is Kyle Van Noy and the Baltimore Ravens.
Absolutely. Ravens.
So really,
I like the Ravens.
Am I taking the Ravens or the Chiefs? That's how I feel like I have to answer this question.
But there are way more options.
So I'm going to roll with the field because I like Baltimore to potentially beat Kansas City in the AFC Championship and play for a Super Bowl against...
Will Lamar Jackson and the homies get over the hump?
The Lions, whoever wins the Lions-Vikings game probably in the second round of the playoffs, I think that'll be the NFC opponent for the Baltimore Ravens in the Super Bowl.
I'm just glad the Ravens finally have, like, a really, really good tight end. Mark Andrews is awesome. Like, what a player.
Didn't they have a guy that played at BYU that caught a touchdown in the Super Bowl?
Well, they had a member of the church, Todd Heap, who was pretty good too. But
what's up, Dennis?
Yeah, Dennis caught a pass in the Super Bowl and it happened to be in the end zone. That's great. Good job. I'm with you. I like the Ravens a lot. KVN's been amazing. Has KVN even peaked yet, by the way? Like, this is his best season yet?
He's 33? 33 years old.
What responsibility.
Yes.
That's crazy. It's hard to root it's easy to root against the Chiefs, but I mean to pick against them because they've been so good when it mattered. They've been a little different this year. Like, that defense has been dominant. The offense not been as good. Like, Patrick Mahomes not even a Pro Bowl quarterback, right, this year, which feels crazy.
They're 15-2, and they gave away the second game.
Yeah.
But they lost.
They're like, Carson Wentz, please.
They wanted no part of the Cincinnati Bengals. No, Denver, you take it. We're not worried about you. We're worried about Cincinnati.
I'll probably go with the field just because logistically it feels like there's more chance there. But don't be shocked if the Chiefs do it again because they play with – how many refs are there?
On the field of an NFL game?
I love the videos where they're like, six. I got my new Chiefs jersey, and it's a refs jersey. Sorry, Shep.
Yeah, it's tough because, again, the Ravens are the three seed, but if you're – the Rams are a four seed, but – They've got a brutal hill to climb through the NFC. And then you get to the Commanders and the Packers and the Broncos, 6 seed, 7 seed, 7 seed.
Yeah. Commanders are really interesting to me. They're okay. Really interesting. Like, who knew it'd be fun to watch Washington football? Because a couple years ago, no way.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Rams could be interesting, too. Yeah, it's going to be a fun NFL playoffs, man. Men's basketball takes on Texas Tech tonight, as we mentioned. Huge game. Quad one for both. Pre-game on BYU TV, BYU Ready. We got you at 8 Eastern time.
After the break, Jerem sings basketball lyrics to Did You Think to Pray? I'm kidding. He's not doing that.
But Basketball Jones?
We will discuss what Mark Durant thinks of Texas Tech and what he expects from BYU in game number 3. This is BYU Sports.
Did you win the game?
Yegor knows who to give it to. You could see that happening once he crossed half court. He's cooking, man.
Make that move. That's impressive.
It's been a minute. I've missed it. That was fun to watch.
We are live at Studio B. This is your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I am Spencer Linton, co-hosting with Jerem Jordan.
Ball night!
We welcome in now a third fantastic personality to this show. He is the BYU radio analyst for men's basketball. The fabulous Mark Durant is back on the show. Mark, how are you this wonderful morning on a day where BYU plays a huge game?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I always love talking to you guys. You're my favorite guys. You know that. I wish somehow I could be the third amigo of this show, but I'll take what I can get. And 2025 treating me nice. I think this is going to be the year of Mark. And so things are going well.
I love the lamp. I love the Pez that you have in the room. How are the goats doing, by the way? Don't rub the lamp, Mark.
It's a menagerie here at the Durant's. We've got a couple goats. And you two have both been privileged to meet the goats. And
yep.
There's no short of excitement at the Durant's. If you like Pez, if you like leg lamps, if you like goats, we got it all.
All kinds of stuff. I love it. I love hanging out at your house.
Menagerie is the right word.
The summer barbecue is always a hit.
Okay, we do need to ask, because we just came through the holiday, and because you have the greatest Pez collection probably in the western half of the United States, did you ask for any specific unique Pez dispenser this go around?
So I can't trust anybody to buy me Pez anymore because I have them all. But so I go on and buy them myself. And so I got a big bag of Pez I ordered for myself that I didn't have. So I play Santa to myself to make sure I get the Pez that I need. This is serious stuff, guys. You don't just let anyone get you Pez. But
yeah. Yeah.
If there's anybody out there that wants to send me Pez, though, please do.
My father-in-law has Pez at his pediatrician office, and so I always feel like, can I even get him one he doesn't have? We're talking to Mark Durant, who still has filing cabinets here on BYU Sports Nation. Mm-hmm. Huge game with Texas Tech tonight, Mark. Like, number 21 in net, 14 in KenPom. I don't think people realize how big a game this is, and the response needed from BYU coming off that Houston loss.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we all saw the Houston game. That was rough. I mean, that makes you question a lot of things.
Nobody hugged you at the end of that game like last time.
There was definitely no hugging involved. But listen, I mean, that happens. Anybody that's played sports knows that happens. The concern is it happened at Providence and it happened at Houston. And so you go from maybe thinking it was a one-off or an anomaly to thinking, well, maybe this is a real problem. And so we'll see. BYU will go to TCU Saturday, see how they perform. But now it's about Texas Tech, right? Texas Tech is a very good team, very similar in a lot of ways to BYU. And so this is a great opportunity to bounce back, to get some confidence back. You can't afford to lose games at home in this conference. I think Texas Tech is a team that is a team that's going to be fighting with BYU for a top half, top third position in the conference. So you don't want to get behind those guys in what you're doing. And when you've got a team at home, you expect to play well and need to play well. I mean, that's all there is to it. You've talked in the show already about how important this game is. But aside from standings, I think it's important for BYU to be on the right track collectively, individually, physically, mentally, to be able to compete at a high level in this conference and to be able to perform better on the road and take care of business at home.
Mark Duran is on BYU Sports Nation. I was asked primarily two questions following BYU's big loss at Houston. One, what the heck happened, Spencer? And number two, what's going on with Yegor Demin? So, Mark, I'm going to ask you the second of those two questions because you kind of already responded to the first. What do you feel like is happening with Yegor? We've given our thoughts post-injury, whatnot, but how are you seeing his play and him being frustrated as he gets used to Big 12 conference basketball?
Well, Yegor's got, I mean, imagine being 18 years old, away from home, and everybody's talking about you, and you mentioned all the scouts that are coming, and that's a lot of pressure on a young kid. And as good as he is, he's still developing his game and his body. He's getting pushed around a little bit, and teams know I just started thinking, how would I scout Yegor? And I think what I'd do is really put a lot of pressure on him at the point, double team him all the time, and then try and, you know, force him into shots that make him uncomfortable. And I think Yegor is pressing at times. I think he knows what he can do and wants to show everybody what he can do. But sometimes discretion is better part of valor, and you just, you know, try and make your teammates better, which I think he does. I mean, he's been really good. We got to remember he was out for a month, and you know, it's a whole thing. It's a whole, but what I want to see from Yegor is I just want to see him have fun out there. I want to see him have confidence and not try to force things. I think if he does that, he's certainly incredibly talented and is deserving of all the accolades and projections for him. But I think he probably gets in his head a little too much. And I know he talks with other greats like Travis Hansen and others and the coaching staff, and they're trying to reinforce that to him. He just needs to settle down and take a deep breath and just be himself and have fun out there. And I think if he does that, then he'll be very good. But with all that said, I mean, it's critical that he does play well for BYU. I mean, if you're projected to be a lottery pick, then you ought to play like it. And he has at times this year, but recently he's struggled. And I think once he sees a couple threes go down and gets, I see sparks of it. For like 7 or 8 minutes in that Arizona State game, he looked to me like the Yegor I'm expecting. And he'll get more and more of those, 10 minutes and 20 minutes and 25 minutes to where he's back to playing an entire game like we need him to and how we expect him to.
There's no way he continues to play like this. He's missed at least 15 threes in a row the last four games. I don't know against Ole Miss what he missed. There's no way he continues that way. He's too good. Okay, when you're trying to slow down an elite shooting team like Texas Tech, what are some of the keys defensively?
Well, BYU has gotten a lot better, I think, in the last month or so defensively. I think they've made some real improvements. I think the team is learning how to play and doing what the coaches want them to do defensively. I thought they've looked pretty darn good. Now, it's one thing to guard teams. It's another team to guard one of the best teams in the country. And so whenever I played against a team that was the best at something, that excited me. I wanted to see what we could do against them. And it was a real challenge. So I hope this team is looking at it that way. We've got one of the best offensive teams in the country coming in here. Let's really get after it. Let's show them that they're not going to have the night that they are used to tonight. They're going to remember tonight. And I think that's a great challenge for these guys. And there's a lot of challenges bouncing back from that win. But this is a fun opportunity to go out and show what you can do, that you belong in the top of this conference, that you're a team to be reckoned with, and you can forget maybe a little bit what happened Saturday night with the big win tonight.
Mark, I know it probably sounds a little bit simple for me to say this, but I did in the early part of the show, and that is I feel like if Yegor Demin and Dallin Hall play well, then BYU as a team will play well and will win a lot of games. Is it that simple? Because both of those guys feel like are trying to find their footing individually, and they haven't had a ton of time to play on the court together. So how do you see that relationship and how it translates to what BYU basketball does overall in the grand scope?
Well, listen, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. They've both been underperforming. And that's a compliment that I say that to them, because I've seen them how good they are. And they're not playing as good as they can play. And maybe part of that is that they're figuring each other out and having to play together. I mean, that's an interesting dynamic, and they haven't had a lot of games together to figure that out. What I'd like to see more from Dallin is to be more aggressive, really put his head down and get to the rim and be a threat and, you know, create problems for defenses with pressure and getting to the basket. And Yegor the same. I think they're being a little bit too passive and need to find a way to make it happen. Now, whether they have to, maybe the answer is to let Dallin have the ball in his hands a little bit more to take the pressure off Yegor and have Yegor be play the wing a little bit more, or play them separately more and, you know, have let Dallin do his thing and yet Yegor do his thing. I don't know, but that combination hasn't worked out quite as I'd hoped yet, but it's still early. They're still figuring each other out, but definitely those two have underperformed recently, and I expect more from them. I know they expect more from themselves, and if we get more from them, that's going to really help this team.
What's the urgency to win tonight, given that BYU probably doesn't want to dip below 500? You're going on the road to TCU. What's the importance of tonight's game?
Well, massively important. I mean, the home games are so critical, and you know, it all depends on what you want to do. I mean, obviously, if you want to be a top three or four team in this conference, you've got to take care of business at home, and you've got to beat good teams in this conference. And so if you want that, then it's critical. And if you're a middle, if you want to get middle of the pack, then maybe it's not as critical, but still, you don't want to go 1-2 and have to go on the road again where you haven't played well, maybe go 1-3. That's really putting yourself behind the eight ball. So, my expectations, I want this team to be one of the best teams in the conference, and I want them to take care of business and beat teams that they should and beat teams at home. And this is one of those games. So if they don't do that, I'll be very disappointed. And I think we'll show that this team may not have what it takes to be a top team. They can certainly make the NCAA tournament and do other things, but you have, if you're a great team and you're going to be at the top of the Big 12, you better win at home in a game like tonight.
Well said. Mark, you bring the Pez tonight, and Jeremy and I will bring a very small amount of swagger if we can muster that up.
Bring the appetite.
Listen, I like BYU basketball, but my favorite things about the games is I get to hang out with Spencer Linton a little bit. And Jeremy occasionally, when he deigns to, you know, grace us with his presence, I like to hang out with him too.
Mark, always good to talk to you, my friend. Be well. We'll see you tonight.
See you, Mark.
I love you. Love you guys. You're the best. Thanks for all you do. Thanks.
Hey, love you too.
All love, brother. Mark Durant, our favorites for good reason. And not sugarcoating anything. Like, guards need to play better.
Got to win tonight.
Got to win tonight.
Yeah, got to win. Huge. BYU basketball with Kevin Young is coming up Thursday night, 8:30 Eastern time on the free BYU TV app.
Headlines on the way as we look at the other Big 12 teams playing tonight. And men's volleyball players racking up some weekly awards. We've only played two matches, Jeremy.
Hey.
Things are going well. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer. He is Jeremy. And these are your headlines.
Men's basketball, big game tonight, as we've mentioned. Texas Tech, quad one game for both. Red Raiders, number 14 in KenPom, number 21 in net. Big game. Yesterday, head coach Kevin Young spoke on how good the Red Raiders are offensively.
You know, I was talking to the coaches, and I'm about to go tell the players. I mean, this would be the best offensive team we've played to date. You know, they got a, I think it's a mix of just really good talent, and then their coach does a really good job of keeping them organized offensively. They space the floor really well.
Grant McCaslin, winner. Coached at North Texas, they won the NIT. They also beat Purdue in the NCAA tournament one time.
I hate it,
ESPN's
but
Joe
I respect
Lenardi.
It.
Anchorman, Vince Vaughn pulling up. I can't stand you, Ron Burgundy, but I respect you. ESPN's Joe Lenardi currently has BYU, this as of this morning, in the next four out. Big opportunity for the Cougars tonight. Pregame coverage begins at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
BYU dropped 10 spots in the bracket after that loss to Houston.
Can they climb 10 spots with a big win today?
Let's hope. Let's continue with the rest of the Big 12 roundup in basketball. Last night, 12th ranked Houston dominated TCU 65-46.
I don't want to hear pro Houston content.
Wow. They're 3-0 in league play. BYU again at TCU on Saturday. Tonight, four other games of note in the Big 12. Arizona struggling a bit at number 21 West Virginia, who's playing really good basketball.
Arizona just beat Cincinnati. They got a good one.
Oh, Utah's got a nice, easy test in Ames.
Everybody
against third-ranked Iowa State.
Beats the Cyclones there.
Cincinnati at Baylor, a couple of teams that were ranked,
game.
And now neither team is ranked.
That's a great game, though.
And Kansas State at Oklahoma State.
Yeah. Two former BYU football players made commitments out of the transfer portal yesterday. Linebacker Isaiah Moa committed to Michigan State. Offensive lineman Jake Eichhorn committed to Utah State. Isaiah's brother Sione is still in the transfer portal, while Eichhorn is the second Cougar to transfer to Utah State. Play for Bronco Mendenhall.
There you go.
Along with running back Miles Davis.
Bronco taking care of those guys. BYU men's volleyball enjoying some weekly awards after winning both of their opening matches at number 11 Ohio State last weekend. Luke Benson named the MPSF Offensive Player of the Week. 34 kills. Hit a 443 clip.
That'll do.
Woo. Teon Taylor named the MPSF Defensive Player of the Week after totaling 13 blocks. Also excellent, including a game-high 9 blocks in Saturday's win against the Ohio State. After the break, a story behind how projected NBA lottery pick Yegor Demian leans on family, friends, and God to help him in his journey to get to the NBA. A can't-miss Deep Blue next. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. As a basketball prodigy, Yegor Demian left home at 15 to pursue his hoops career. In his journey, he learned to lean on family, friends, and God to help him along the way. This is Deep Blue featuring Yegor Demian.
Yegor, take one. Born in Moscow, in the city where I grew up, summer is hot, winter is cold, and people are like, oh, for real? And you're not even riding beers? Like, and I'm saying, no, not really. Some people do, but not me. When I was 15, I got offered by Real Madrid, which is one of the best European clubs. This is so unique for my country. And I was the first Russian player ever in a yacht team of Real Madrid.
Relocating to Spain at 15, you know, by himself, you probably forced him to grow up a little faster than most of us. You know, I was eating mom's dinner every night at 15, and so he's kind of on his own.
It was hard to take this fact that I'm not gonna see my parents every day as I did last 15 years, that I'm not gonna come back home and see a dinner on the table that my mom cooked. Just the fact that I needed to go somewhere really far from my family, it was really nervous for me. I was a little bit scared of this. At the same time, it would be really weird if I would just say, I'm scared, I don't want to go. So we took a risk.
Тогда ты в любой ситуации, в любой жизненном пути бескорыстно, если ты его любишь, да, ты подставляешь ему плечо всегда. Если это его мечты, на пути к его мечте, да, подставляешь свое плечо и вообще не задумываешься, как это будет там в итоге. Ты просто следуешь с ним в ногу и пытаешься, ну, как бы жить его жизнью.
Мы постоянно были на связи, он звонил практически каждый день, иногда могли по два раза созвониться, он был постоянно делился своими новостями, и мы знаем Егора, и я бы сразу по голосу почувствовал, что у него какие-то неприятности или там какой-то страх или неплохое настроение, да, то есть мы...
I started being really close to God when I went to Spain. I got kind of alone, really separated from my family, and there was God was a way for me to get rid of bad thoughts, you know, being sad, being emotional, God was the only person I could talk my language.
The way we communicate was like we had a translator running all the time, or just like show me the hands all you wanted. But like long conversations, he would just say yes, and that yes was like he didn't understand it.
I basically learned English because of him, because this guy would just like teach me every day new words. I would ask him a lot of questions, and it was really hard for him to live with me and just trying to understand what I'm saying and trying to explain what he wants to say to me. So yeah, Declan, my friend, he's just awesome.
After he learned English, he had to learn Spanish also. It was a bit difficult for him, but like I tried to help him. So we mixed like the English words and the Spanish words like in a sentence. And we call it Spanglish.
When you leave your home country of Russia and go play, you know, at Real Madrid in Spain at a young age, it says a lot to everybody of how important the game of basketball is, but also how dedicated you are to becoming the best basketball player you can be.
BYU is a huge step for me. It's a little different if we're comparing it with Real Madrid, because Real Madrid was more a step of maturing and getting to the next level. So here, I just feel like it's the best place for me to be focused on right things and learn how to be a better person than I am now.
You know, Yegor's whole mindset was like, no, I want to go to college basketball. I want to play against the best American style of basketball to prepare myself better for the NBA.
We're talking about one of the highest rated recruits in BYU history. I mean, he comes in with a lot of fanfare and has really lived up to it. You know, he's a tremendous player. I think we're all excited to see what he will do once the big lights get turned on. But he also has a maturity that he brings that you wouldn't expect.
You wouldn't know that there's a, you know, this status of being a future lottery pick is around him. You know, he doesn't act, you know, that type of way. He's just there to get better and be a good teammate and you know, be a friend to everybody.
I think he's really focused on just coming in every day and trying to bring his best version. And again, you know, he's coming to a new country, new basketball from FIBA to college, and there's challenges with that. And he seems very, very focused, you know, and ready for those challenges.
У него для него не было никаких ни поблажек, никакого себе он не давал послабления. Вот это его, вот я считаю, что это его одно из самых больших достижений, что он своим трудом прям проторил себе дорогу к своей цели.
Помимо большой цели должны быть еще короткие микроцели, потому что это делает его ближе к его мечте.
God has his own timing for us, and I believe that he has a plan for me, and he has his own timing for me. That's what makes me not being nervous about the result right now. Probably I'm not even going to notice it, but I'm getting better step by step. Я хочу, чтобы моя семья и моя страна гордились мной. I want my family and my country to be proud of me.
An incredible personality, so fun to be around, and I think that's why it's so tough to watch him struggle at this moment, is because we know what he's capable of, and you know how he's feeling it as a young kid who's so far away from home. Like, you just want a guy like Yegor to have success.
It's hard to be away from home. He's now done this for a couple of years, having been at Real Madrid, and expectations are super high, but he's embraced the community. The community's embraced him, so hopefully that's helping him during this time. He is not shooting the ball particularly well, and he's turned it over 8 times the last 2 games.
Both of those things are going to change.
Right? And he's not going to continue down that road. He's too good a player. Yet he has 14 assists. So he needs to score a little more, shoot a little better, not turn it over. But his assist number is still high. He's still finding his teammates. Just hoping that he and Dallin Hall can kind of figure it out together, because those are two of BYU's best players. And I don't think that they've quite clicked yet. I'm excited for the moment they do, because then BYU takes off.
We're not asking for major shifts. I mean, it's not like
you
want Yegor to go. You got to go score 18 to 20 a night.
I wouldn't mind it.
There will be some of those games.
I want him at like 15 and 6.
But if he's shooting it closer to 50% and making, you know, has producing a line that has 10 points and 6 assists and 2 turnovers, this is a great.
And he always grabs 4 or 5 rebounds.
Yes, feels like, right? Yes, some balance.
He's averaging 4.4. Yeah.
Okay, can't wait to watch what Yegor, Dallin, those guards, frankly, the whole team do against Texas Tech tonight. Still on the way. This is going to be one of my favorite top five Tuesdays of all time. Okay. Because we're breaking down, Jerem, the coldest takes from 2024.
Oh, there were some cold ones and some amazing ones. Ourselves included.
BYU football. Oh, baby. Throw ourselves under the bus after this.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Let's do this. Top 5 Tuesday and all-timer. The top 5 coldest takes surrounding BYU football in 2024.
We start with our win total and a couple of things. We thought BYU would go 7-5 in the regular season. They went 10-2, which was great. We also thought Keanu Hill would lead the team with 6 touchdown receptions. Unfortunately, he only had 1. And then we both said no kick or punt returns this year for BYU. They had 5.
What?
Keelan Marion, 2. Parker Kingston, 2. Talon Alfrey had the 1 on an onside kick. So we were way off on that one.
We just missed that one.
We weren't the worst call takes because there are 4 better ones.
All right, how about this? At number 4, BYU picked 13th in the Big 12 preseason poll. 13th! Arizona State 16th!
Wait, Utah was picked first? I forgot.
Yeah, the team picked 16th, won the stinking conference.
Amazing.
In fact, teams picked 6, 11, 13, and 16, finished the regular season tied for first. Unbelievable finish there.
Look at. Nope. Unfortunately, beat BYU. Nope. They were good. That was good. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay, the QB ranking. How about this for number 3? Jake Retzlaff, PFF. Put out a list. Jake Retzlaff screenshot of this. He knows this. He was picked as the 16th best starting quarterback in the league. Where would you put him, by the way, at the end of the season? We haven't discussed this, right?
We need to have a lengthy conversation about
that.
Probably 7 or 8?
Yeah, someone in the top 8. Yeah. Upper half.
7 or 8?
Yeah.
But look at Retzlaff, Levitt. Are you kidding? 15 and 16?
Yeah.
That is wild and freezing cold.
Yeah. Sawyer Robertson wasn't even listed from Baylor. It was Daquan Finn.
He might be the best quarterback coming back next year.
He's pretty good.
All right.
Pretty good.
Whew. At number 2, our good friend John Wilner.
Okay. This is my favorite thing ever.
This is still an active post. Okay. He said, when BYU we thought was sacked and Jake Retzlaff went down on fourth down in Salt Lake City against Utah holds that.
Sorry, what did you say?
That should do it.
Utah holds? Really?
Indeed they did. Defensive holding. He said that should do it. BYU no longer undefeated. I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, nope.
John, turn the TV back on, bro. turn it back on.
My heart has never pounded harder in a sporting event than that last drive.
Fourth and hold. An all-timer. An all-timer.
But it's not the number 1 cold take. Vegas predicting 4.5 wins for BYU is the number 1 cold take.
4.5
for 11 wins this year. Eclipsed that win total in September, by the way.
Yeah, they beat Baylor and had 5 wins.
BYU was an underdog in 6 of the 13 games. It felt like they were an underdog in 8 or 9. Mm. And Kalani Sitake joked with you after the Alamo Bowl. We're an underdog going into next season.
Yeah.
Despite 11-2. Crazy.
Those are your top 5 coldest takes of the season surrounding BYU football in 2020.
That's one of my favorite top 5 we've done. That was pretty fun. That was pretty good.
Yeah, Utah holds. Indeed, they do. And it gave BYU a first down.
I almost couldn't believe that's what he said. Utah holds? Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
Oh, fantastic. Our question of the day, back to basketball. Following a 20-point win against Arizona State, then a 31-point loss at Houston, what are your expectations for tonight's BYU men's basketball game against Texas Tech? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated comes in from Nathan_Tolman22 on Instagram, who says, I expect a win. I can't expect anything else. I don't care how messy it gets. A win is a win.
At home, I agree. Win by 1+.
Especially when your quad one opportunity is at home. We think BYU needs to win 7 home games.
Yeah.
This one feels like it needs to be one of those 7, Jerem.
Yep.
Today's Rise and Shout Out presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Ashley Hatch, she made the U.S. Women's National Team January camp roster. Congrats to Ashley. It's been a minute. She's been in that
Fantastic. Well done, Ashley. Our thanks to today's guest, Mark Durant.
Sorry to Dennis, we ran out of time.
For Jeremiah Spencer, shout out to Mark's brother, Elder Devin Durant. We'll see you tonight for BYU Men's Basketball Pregame. Go Cougs!
Ball night!